Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
It's the Yesterday's Hero Odyssey. We're gradually making our way through the 1979 classic film Yesterday's Hero. It's on our YouTube channel if you want to watch it and follow us along. It's basically the story of Rod Turner, a washed-up footballer who gets a shot at redemption courtesy of Paul Nicholas's Clint Simon, who is a millionaire pop star. And Adam Faith, who was a pop star, is also in there as Jake Marsh, the football manager. It's a great film. It's a great film. Get it watched. Where are we in it? Paris, that's where we are. We got sidetracked again last time by fucking helicopters and stuff. But they flew to Paris. Clint Simon is schmoozing Rod because he wants him to sign for his team, the Saints, who are about to play in an important semi-final. Rod's not sure. Rod's had an offer from America to maybe go and do a bit of coaching on the coast, where there's lots of sunshine.
Well, he's saying that, but it's not
lots
true.
Lots of bars. But that looks unlikely. But Clint Simon wants him to play for the Saints because the Saints' main striker, whose name I've forgotten now, fucking John Slaughter or something like that, he's been injured. And the kid who's in the reserves isn't ready for the first team because he would shit his pants, as Jake Marsh said. So they're banking on signing up. Yeah, they're banking on signing Rod, even though Rod's best days are past him. But we'll see. We can see where it's going, can't we? So they're in the recording studio in Paris. Yeah, they've flown across to Paris, and recorded a song with Rod watching from the mixing desk. And they finished this song, which goes on for fucking ages. And Clint says to Cloudy, "You do know him, don't you?" And Cloudy says, "We slept together, but it was a long time ago." Clint's pissed off by this. You can see that he's pissed off. But then she says...
I'd love to have a sexual history so vast that if I encountered someone who I had slept with, that especially a famous person, that it wouldn't be a kind of a big deal, like to talk about, we slept with each other.
Yeah, well, you know, like, we all did back then. Fucking hell.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus obviously Christ. We might sleep with each other, and it's not a big deal. My sexual history is nowhere near big enough for me to sort of say it that casually about a sexual encounter I had. With me, it would have to be, right, everyone sit down. I've got something massive to fucking tell you. This is huge. Me and her once had full sexual intercourse. No lie at all. She will confirm it. This is massive. It's a bombshell, and I want us all to fucking just talk this through now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right,
it was an
but for these sorts of people, for your Cloudies and your Rods, it's just sort of like,
we did it,
did
that's
it.
The 70s, though,
mate.
Isn't it?
I've done it with loads of people. Ask me, give me a name, I'll tell you whether I've done it with them.
I tell you what, those. I could get on any bus in this city, right, and there'll be at least 3 people there I've done it with. It doesn't even be a double decker, could be a single decker, there'll be at least 3.
Could be a single,
I've done it with,
And so, there'll be at least one at the bus stop and all.
Yeah, maybe the driver. He's got to deal with it. Clint's pissed off. Clint, she tells Clint that she loves him like a brother, which is just a dagger to the heart of any man, isn't it? Really, it's, I think they call it the friend zone now. Poor Clint, he's holding a candle, holding a torch, even for Cloudy Martin, who is a very, very beautiful woman. Let's be honest.
But she's not very interested. I do feel for him a bit. But, you know, he's a man who can have everything he wants apart from her, and that's why he covets her so much. And
exactly. That's why. And then he just gives it the puppy dog eyes, and he says, you know, if you ever feel like... stop degrading yourself, Clint, for fuck's sake. You know, this is why she doesn't want you.
And you're a big star, mate.
She says, Clint, don't. With our two egos, it would never work. And she's she's battered him away quite skillfully there. Yeah, I'll blame it on the egos. Look, I just don't fancy
her. She's not going to give it there. Listen, I don't fancy her. You're not my type. I like grumpy old pissheads like him. You're not my type. You're boring.
Look at your fucking hair, for fuck's sake. What the fuck? You've got a perm.
You look ridiculous, mate.
You look like Phil Thompson plays for Liverpool. I mean, fuck off. Leave me alone.
Fucking as if. I've had it off with loads of people, so I'm obviously not, like, super fussy, but no way would I touch you with a shitty stick. Next question.
I draw the line at you. Now, look, we're doing well. We're making some nice records together. We're topping the charts. Let's just leave it at that. Elton John and Kiki D never had it off, so, you know, I don't know why, but good enough for them, it's good enough for us. There we go. And then they fly back to the UK. Clint asks Rod, can I get your decision tomorrow, he says. And Rod says, I've got a few things to sort out. I think there's an offer from America.
I've got a bit of admin to take care of first.
There's a pile of bills to pay. I've got telephone bills overdue. They might cut me off.
Well, I've got to call my mum because there's some documents that I think are in her attic that I'm pretty sure are in her attic. She may have done an attic clear out. I don't know. I fucking hope she hasn't because they're essential to some admin that I need to get finalised.
Very important. I used to have a solicitor, but I haven't spoken to him for quite some time, but I think there's something I need to give him. They're the documents that are at my mum's.
Something I need to sign.
She doesn't live local anymore. I'm going to have to try and get out there somewhere, maybe in a train. I don't... Oh, Jesus Christ, it's all very...
I have a daughter. I don't want to do that. I have a daughter. I believe it was her birthday at some point in the last three or four, 5 months or so. I had some my to-do list, but for whatever reason, it keeps escaping my mind to put that parcel in. I'm not quite sure how old she is, so I'm not sure what appropriate gift would be. But something, so I must send something to her.
I think perhaps a book token will probably suffice because everybody loves books at all ages. And also, you could just put it in the post. You could just post it to her. And she'll get it.
I don't have her address to hand, but I'm hoping that if I do contact my mother about the documents I mentioned, she may also have the whereabouts of my daughter written down. That I could kill two birds with one stone.
No, it's actually a son. I have a son, not a daughter.
That's it, a son. That's it. Now I remember.
Now it's all starting to make sense again. He lives in the next street from me. Yes. Oh, that's who he is. That's who he is.
That's why he keeps knocking on my door at all hours of the day.
This is all beginning to make sense now. This is wonderful. Tap, 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 very helpful.
Father, are you awake, Father? No, go away. I'm sleeping. I just want to make sure you're alive, Father. Of course I'm alive, you ridiculous
I've
boy.
I've never felt more alive in my life. Leave me alone. I'm drinking and sleeping.
I'm watching the snooker. Go away, whoever you are.
He's got a few things to sort out. And then Clint the conversation gets a bit more serious, and he says, look, Rod, about Cloudy, she's a very special lady. Means a lot to me.
let's leave the
past in the past, eh? And Rod just says, suits me.
Believe me, it suits me. It's the last thing I want is to have it off with her again.
Once I've had enough of them once, I don't want to do it again. It's all about the chase, you see. So, once I've done with them, I write their name down in a little book that I carry around, and then so I know that I've already done with them, and I don't have to do it again.
As far as I'm concerned.
I see myself as a butterfly collector, if anything.
She's damaged goods. It's like I once went into Mr. Byright, and I tried to buy a new pair of swim shorts, and I asked if I could try them on. I tried them on, and I decided against the purchase. And the woman in the shop said, well, she was the manager, you see, and she saw what was happening. And she came over and she said to me, you have to buy those now because you've tried them on. I said, don't be so ridiculous. And she took me aside into a side room, and she explained to me that because my genitals had touched the inner lining of the swim shorts, that I was duty-bound to buy them, and she was going to have a word with the young shop assistant who had originally given them to me to explain that no one was actually allowed to try on swimming shorts because of the genital issue. So, cut long story short, I bought the shorts. I had to, but I've never worn them again since.
I quite like them, but it's a point of principle. I didn't like being forced to buy them. I said, madam, if I were to list everyone that my genitals have touched, we would be here until Christmas. And she made me leave after I bought the shorts.
There was a scene and security. It was in one of these ghastly shopping precincts, you see, indoors with all sorts of different shops.
I got very confused when I went out of the shop, but somehow I was still indoors. And that confused me for a while.
And then there was some shouting. I admit some of it I was responsible
there
for.
There might have been some pushing. A little bit of pushing.
I take no pride in it, but there was what my mother may have called a to-do. They have private... These precincts, I consider them a threat to our democracy. They have their own ecosystem with their own private security forces, like the SS. I said to them, this is no different to Nazi Germany. You have your own hired guns. Who are these men? What's their legitimacy? They weren't interested in debate, I can tell you.
I said, have I touched down on an alien planet here? What's going on? Who are these men? They don't have the authority to touch me.
It is still Britain. Is the Queen of HRH, Queen Elizabeth II, still our head of state? Because if that's the case, then I'm afraid you, sir, have no legitimacy over me whatsoever.
And I also said, I said to them, look, you don't have any signs visible to say that I can't try on the shorts. I was discreet. I went over into the corner and I faced the wall when I put them on. I don't see what the problem is.
No one saw my penis. Well, maybe at most two people saw my penis, neither of whom were children. And so I can't see any damage done. All of these people have seen penises before.
I'll get it out again now if you want. There'll be no problem with me with that. Stand back.
Is that what you want? You all gather round to see the great Rod Turner's penis.
Oh, my God. It's puppet show time, is it? Yes? All having a bloody good luck, are you?
Oh, want your bloody pound of flesh, do you? Fine. Let them all see. And there's my testicles, too.
They come as a kit. They all come together. You can't have one without the other. For God's sake. You people.
I'll take your shorts. Fine, I'll take them.
Here's your £3. I hope you choke on it.
And I threw it. I took out £3. I threw it on the floor. Pick it up.
1, 2, 3 pound notes there.
Like
good
confetti.
Day to you.
And what I'm saying to you is, it's very similar to my relations with women. The swimming shorts are a perfect metaphor for that, you see. Once they are soiled, they're unusable.
So he says, suits me. And then Clint says, suits all of us. Fucking hell.
Really weird, okay. Cryptic conversation.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Jalapeño.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
So then, what happens after that? Rod fucks off in a chauffeur-driven Rolls Royce that he arrived in, all part of the service from Clint Simon. So he's then got to go and make a decision about whether he's going to sign for Saints or not, or whether he's going to take his American job from Georgie Moore. And then he's back in his bed sit. He's in default mode. He's drinking scotch straight from the bottle, and he's humming a little tune to himself. Who knows, it might be that song that they were singing in Paris. I'm not completely sure. But he's having a bit of a sing-song to himself. And he's looking at something.
Oh, a little sing-song.
He's looking at something. And I thought it might have been a contract or something. I thought it might have been the contract that Clinton offered him. But it turns out we see a few seconds later, it's actually the photograph of Cloudy Martin that he came across earlier in the film. He's having a bit of a thing. Actually, it was very good, the sex. I enjoyed that one. I'm starting to think it might be worth having another go, because my options are a bit limited these days. What with my non-league? Why not? The thing about getting on the roundabout at the fairground is once you get off, you feel like you might want to go on again. It's a bit like a Chinese takeaway. You just feel like you want to have another one. So as you finish this, so I might go back to Cloudy again. Let's see.
You know, they put the chemicals in it. Well, that's the problem. I often say it right now, because Chinese, I say I'll have the chow mein, but none of them fucking chemicals. Right, because that's chemicals what gets in. Inside you not.
It's like heroin. I say no. Don't put the arrow in it. Just give me again.
That's how the Chinese operate. It's like that Manchurian fucking candidate.
Just the noodles. And don't put any of that pork in because it's too chewy.
And they charge you a lot extra for the pork. And half the time it's not even pork, it's chicken, but they put brood dye in it. Well, you've got to watch out for that.
There's been rumours in the locality that lots of cats have been going missing. And some people have put so and so together. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but I'm just saying what I've heard.
It's very simple. Here is £2. One, two. I want a foil tray with plain noodles in. Nothing more. Nothing
no chemicals.
And I want a can of Fanta. And that's it. All right. And some of them crackers as well, but some places get them for free.
Well, you mean I've got to spend £5 to get the free crackers? Well, how much is the Fanta?
What? 30 pence. Fucking hell.
How much is that bottle of soy sauce? Could I get one of them as well? Will that take me over the £5? I get the free crackers. No?
Wait a minute. You still do chips? Give us some portions of chips as well. And I'll keep them. I could freeze them if worse comes to worse. I'll eat them up on a day. I'll have them for my breakfast, maybe.
So he's in the bed sit, he's drinking the scotch, humming a tube, looking at the photo of Cloudy, and then he says to himself, let's leave the past in the past, suits us both.
Is he talking to himself?
He is, yeah. He repeats the conversation from the flight. Let's leave the past in the past, it suits us both very much. And then he makes a phone call. He has on his landline. Reconnected, and he calls Georgie Moore, and Georgie Moore just reeks of cocaine. Basically, he's just a one-man blizzard of cocaine in his hotel suite, there's a thing he says, and I can't remember what it is, but the intonation in it is fucking great. It's just over the top ham acting. It's fucking great. So Rod calls Georgie, and he tells him that he wants to go to America, but he needs to know now, because obviously this other offer's on the table from the Saints. And Georgie's just fucking giving him some flim-flam and all this sort of thing. And he says, why don't I phone you in a couple of weeks, yeah? And then he goes, ciao, baby. Ciao, baby. Fucking hell.
Can't.
And Rod puts the phone down and just says to himself, phony. Now, that's a word I think that doesn't get used enough these days. Phony.
No, but it's really good, yeah.
It's great, yeah.
He uses it loads in Catcher in the Rye. He calls everyone a phony.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be like a bit of a ghost adolescent, but I'm all behind him, the fella in that, because, you know, when you're that age, you do, everyone's a phony. And then sometimes you lose sight of that. But, yeah, pretty much, you do meet a lot of phonies.
Are we the phonies now, Sam?
Probably, I certainly, my kids, particularly my daughter, regard me as a total phony. She thinks every last fibre of me is just bullshit.
Contemptible.
Yeah, she just sort of thinks that I'm living a lie.
Yeah. I mean, I get that from my daughter, who's 17 now. My son is 13. That hasn't come yet, but I'm sure it will do at some point. Yeah. It's part of life, isn't it? You just got to deal with it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Who knows whether we're phonies or not? You grow up.
I don't know.
You develop different personality traits. You don't know where they come from. Different things happen to you. Stories unfold. Encounters occur. You do what you have to do. And the next thing you know, you're in your 40s and you're an assembly of all sorts of different things that have come together. You're like a pick and mix. And you can't see where reality, where your core self is and where the sort of, you know, affectations that you've accumulated along the way are.
Right. I don't know where that was going.
Well, he says phony.
All right, yeah.
So we're talking about phoniness.
Maybe we'll do a Twitter poll and ask people if they think we're phonies or not. What do you reckon?
No, no. Because then you just get... That can only lead to, even if there's just one can't go, well, actually, what I think is, and then you just get annoyed.
Yeah, the last thing we want is people's opinions.
You might as well just do a poll saying, do you think we're cunts?
Yeah. Yeah, I might do that. So anyway, the next day, and Rod turns up at Clint's office, wanders in, looking really good, actually, considering he's a drunk. He's really smartly dressed. He's looking good. And he says, Mr. Simon, you've got yourself a player. America can wait. Oh. I'll see you through the season. Which is good stuff. Clint's obviously
delighted at this. I've decided to turn the job offer in America down, despite the fact they're offering me millions of pounds to do it.
I don't remember the full conversation, but I think the man said something about I was going to get the Empire State Building. But I've thought about it. I think there'll be quite a lot of running costs involved in owning the Empire State Building.
So I decided to wait. Bills alone.
I've decided to wait for now. I think it's something I can maybe do when I'm slightly older and I've got a bit more time on my hands. But I'd like to play for you. I will see you through the season, Mr. Simon. When do I start? And he fucking starts fucking straight away, basically.
Just in case you need any further convincing, I brought my CV. Sorry, there is some cigarette ash on it and a small coffee ring. But if I just brush that off and unfold it, you can see my skills include relevant passing, shooting, heading the ball. That's a specialism of mine. And running.
I haven't put tackling on there because, to be honest, I'm a bit of a flair player. I don't tend to track back or tackle
I don't tend to dabble in what I refer to as the dark arts of tackling. I'd rather leave that to the tougher lads.
I will say this once every month or so, I get a rush of blood to the head and I'll commit a horrendous foul of one of my opponents, and I'll get a yellow card for it. But that's not
sometimes regular. You get a yellow card, but I can tell you this, the fans appreciate it because they enjoy seeing passion.
It gets them off their seats or off, off their feet or whatever they're on. I don't know what they do when you want to not to pay attention.
Some of these poor souls are in wheelchairs these days, and it's very sad to see. I try to block that out of my mind whilst playing the game.
We go and play Chelsea, and the poor unfortunates, they turn up and they park their little blue cars next to the pitch, and then someone helps them out and they watch from the side, and it's terrible. I try not to look at them, to be quite honest.
In all honesty, it's a heartbreaking display. It's best not to dwell on it too much. You know, I know a young man with a club foot who I am mentoring currently, so... Never let it be said that Rod Turner has no sympathy for the less fortunate.
Never, for the grace of God, I think, as I see them. And onwards with life, because you can't dwell on it. It might come to you. It's all part of God's plan, isn't it, really? You know, I might end up mangled under a bus one day. Who knows? Who could say?
But once you're dead. We know nothing about it, or perhaps we do know about it. It's a great unknown, and that is why I choose not to contemplate it. That way madness lies.
I think that's how I would like to go. Very sudden. Bang! Dead. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer, kid.
My father had a huge heart attack. And that was it. One minute he was there having his tea and toast, in the morning, the next moment he was dead.
Gone.
Dead as a doorpost. And I envy him. I envy him for that. That's how he would have wanted it.
Yes, and same for me as well. I hope I go that way. But anyway, what colours do we wear? What colour strips do we wear, Clint? Because I have a personal astrologist. I haven't spoken to him for some time, but I have a personal astrologist, and he tells me that there are certain colours I must avoid when I play football. Green is one. He says it will clash with the pitch, green, and also purple. So if you don't play in those, we'll be all right. So there we are. And then they arrive at the training ground straight away. Rod's got his tracksuit on, no messing about. The training ground for Saints, I mean, they're third division level, I think, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's only slightly less of a shit heap than where Rod's other team were playing. It's... fucking just, I think it might just be the other end of the same ground. It's just
they're
a just mud
on
bath.
They're on the way up though. They're like, you know, they've only recently been taken over by Clint.
Yeah, so it's not very salubrious, but Clint and Rod walk onto the training ground. Jake's there, of course. Jake Marsh, Adam Faith, the no nonsense manager, and Clint says, "Jake, you know each other?" Rod says, "Yeah," and Jake just says, "You better get your ass out of here and start training, didn't you?" Fucking hell! Rod says, "That's what I'm here for."
Again, sort of strange exchange of lackluster banter.
Yeah, I haven't gone back into the script for a few weeks. I should have a look and see what's actually been said here, if I can find it. But I mean, the script bears no resemblance to the script's better, if anything. Loads of stuff got cut out. So
maybe there was a lot of ad lib in.
Yeah, I mean, there's a restaurant scene here in Paris which isn't in the film at all, so that's something. Phony bastard, he says in the script instead of just phony. And he goes in, tells Clint Simon that he's going to do it. He better get his arse out here for training, says Jake. Yeah, that's about it. And then there's two young players that come over to him in the next scene. I can't remember if they're in the film or not. Chris Mumford and Ginger Jetson. So we might find out about them in the next episode. We might fucking not, because I haven't watched it yet. That's as far as I've got. So let's leave it there.
Yeah, that's it for this week. We're making good progress now, I think, through yesterday's era. One day we might finish it.
We're making good progress. I'm just looking to see where we're at. We're 35 minutes into the film, and it's a 1 hour 35 minute film. So
fucking out. I tell you what, though, one of the many reasons this film's good is that it's packed full of content. That a lot happened.
Yeah,
think
yeah.
about it.
Oh, there's a scene coming up with Glynis Barber in it. She's beautiful. She's a very beautiful woman. I might just look at that picture at the freeze frame for the rest of the day. Thank you very much. Anyway, yeah, that's it from this one. Thank you very much. And stay close to your dreams, but also stay close to the floor.
Always be true to yourself and your mother's ambitions for you.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.